take. If you afraid, then you come along with me. And I know what you came here to do. Knock, knock, let me see you get loose. Going down for real.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily,
coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Wow. Speechless, stunned, insane. At this point, not surprised by anything I see. But the Browns added a new one to the pantheon of ways to come up on the short end of the stick. Blocked field goal in the waning moments, some clock issues leading up to that field goal, and then all of a sudden, just like that, you thought the game was either going to be a Browns victory off the leg of Travis Coons, who had never missed a field goal in his NFL career, or it would go to overtime if he did finally miss one. Instead, it was blocked, and the Ravens won the game. Obviously disappointing. I do think on some level, the Browns did show competitiveness and resilience. They were down 17-3. They ultimately went ahead 20-17. And I thought they at least you got a game where you got good effort. I'm certain that you guys are going to question things that happen in terms of course, you know, coaching, play calling, how you handled certain situations, etc. And obviously there's a lot to digest in a game like this, because when you're so close to victory and then you ultimately don't get it done, that's what happens. But this is a team that was down 17-3, takes a 17-3. They take a 20-17 lead. They're down 27-20. Josh McCown gets knocked out with what we're being told is a collarbone injury that could be the end of his season. And at this point, whether he's healthy or not, I kind of just hope it is. Like, let him heal his body. He has given everything
that he
possibly could give to this team, this organization. I thought the touchdown between the pass from him to Marlon Moore epitomized everything about Josh McCown and Marlon Moore. Toughness to keep that play alive. And then, of course, you had, you know, Marlon Moore getting collision low crosser on the crosser, got knocked to the ground. Many people would just stay there. Got right back up, extended the route, made the touchdown. That was the epitome of the Browns. But again, as it is this season, the Browns just don't find a way to win these games. And they are now 2-14 in the last 16 games. And those are, unfortunately, just the facts.
They definitely are. And Nathan, as I always do, I have an opportunity, you know, via the Browns mobile app to watch Pettine's presser and watch some of the player interviews, just to look at the demeanor and hear some of the comments. I was able to watch the interview between you and Carlos Dansby. And I thought Dansby, based around that interview and knowing what happened in that football game, he's a guy that I want back. Clearly upset, clearly disappointed, and real in his comments. There was no fairy tale. It was, it's not good enough. We need to make plays. He even said, somebody needs to make a play. And the reason why I relate to that is because it's what I've said all along. It kind of is. We make the one play to get us close, but there's no killer playmaker along the defensive front that delivers a sack when you need it. You know, there's no one that, I guess, you know, calls for the football and wins no matter whether it's one-on-one or zone. There's no quarterback that you can put the game on and win you that football game down the stretch. And I think that, to me, is most clear. Tremont Williams makes the pick. There's the play. Who's going to make the next one? And that is what I think, that's what winners do. And I'm not going to sit here like, you know, other radio shows and go, well, they're losers. They're losers. It's very clear that they're losing, right? And there's a losing culture here. But I'm not going to point a finger at anybody and tell them that they're a loser, because they're one of 2,500 people in the world doing what they do, which is playing professional football in the National Football League. But there is a void here in Cleveland, and I'm growing in my knowledge of it between fans, you know, away from this building and just watching the product on the football field. There is a void somewhere. There is a kink in the hose somewhere along the line that is keeping this football team from winning games.
There's something Kelly Ripa sent out, tried to heal the curse. She said that, you know, maybe there is a curse. So she sent out some good stuff. by the way, the NFL, for everybody, just so they know, everybody who was saying, you know, the guy was offsides, et cetera, because of the picture where it shows his hand over the black line, the NFL has issued a statement, Dean Blandino, saying on the field goal block last night, the ball spotted at the 33.5. Video picks going around have the line drawn through the 33. So they actually were not offsides. And he also did not step out of bounds.
Well, and anybody who knows, who's watched football on television in the last 5 years, since those lines became so ever so clever and creative, they're not the official lines.
No.
Those are created by the TV. Those are created by TV to give us as fans a better entertainment and understanding of what a first down is, what's the yards to gain, and so on and so forth. It's nothing official at all.
So it was a game where, you know, on the positive side, he's talked about some nice plays. Matt Schaub, what did I say?
A pick six.
He will throw you a pick six. He did that. He threw an interception in the most critical moment, just like at the end of the game against Denver when Peyton Manning did it and the Browns couldn't get it done. I thought Austin Davis came in what I would call a difficult situation. The crowd was against him, and I liked the poise he showed on that drive, 6 of 6, 7 yards.
And I just want to interject here as we on
Go
Austin Davis. Tell and again, correct me if I'm wrong, because I made this comment last night at what one o'clock in the morning or whatever it was, doing the post game radio show call in, and I thought, and this is not technically a knock against Josh McCown or Johnny Manziel, but this is a, did he not throw the perfect football in stride to Travis Benjamin? Where I think at times we've seen either Manziel or McCown underthrow a football, maybe, or too high of a throw that either makes it a bang-bang play where Benjamin's got to be exceptional and catch the ball, or Benjamin has to break his stride and it becomes a much more difficult catch. Where I thought Austin Davis saw it was clear, saw the path, and literally threw the BB in there like a dart, you know, in, like hitting a bullseye in there to Travis Benjamin, so much so that, you know, it was not, because the safety was coming once he reacted. Had he thrown the ball a little bit higher and had he had to slow down, it would have been, you know, a catch tackle or maybe a pass deflection. But he hummed that thing in there, and I was just like, I was blown away by that throw.
That was a great throw, stepped up in the pocket, got good protection from Duke Johnson on the play, hit Travis Benjamin. Now, there was some good and bad. Remember, he also threw the ball right to 21. On that first down slant, unfortunately, it was dropped. The slide in bounds, just stuff from not playing enough with Austin Davis. But I do believe that he has looked, I thought he looked good. And the reports I've heard from him in practice are that he looked good. And I'm, you know, intrigued to see more. The good news is, I believe you're going to see one of the two young guys, whether it be Austin Davis or Johnny Manziel, the rest of the season. So at least we're going to get an opportunity to see if one of these guys has an opportunity to play for the Browns in the long term. Again, it's tough to lose this game. When you lose to Matt Schaub playing with all backups on the road, it's not good. It's not good. There's no positive spin I'm going to put on this. Yes, there were some highlights. Dansby makes a nice play. You look at Austin Davis come in and show some fire. In my opinion, it is just another disappointing performance overall. And it's a results-oriented business, so it's about ultimately winning. Could you overcome? And they couldn't, and it was a game that, frankly, the Browns should have won. They should have won this game. They should have been able to beat this team. Terrence West comes in and looks like he's 20 pounds lighter and quicker and actually ran pretty well on his 7 carries, averaging over 5 a pop. They couldn't stop Buck Allen. There were coverages where guys were running wide open, guys that, you know, aren't even starters in the NFL. Not one of those receivers on that team was a starter in the NFL, yet they were getting wide open. Kamar Aiken, Chris Givens, I talked about watching him on the big play, and, of course, he hit the one big play for him. Just an overall disappointing game, and I think that these guys are certainly, you know, going back to the drawing board, looking for answers. There's absolutely no ground game to speak of for the Browns running the football. I mean, absolutely
none.
None.
Whatsoever. Isaiah Crowell, our power running back, 7 yards on 7 carries. And I know the next statistic that's coming from you
I haven't even looked at it.
And while you look that up, and we'll get back to there, the one frustrating thing to me, and this is where I constantly think about, you know, the state of the union. Where are we at? Okay. When it comes to crunch time, and I know it's not a throw or a catch or a run, right? But our top two draft picks from 2015, Danny Shelton and Cam Irving, are aligned next to each other on field goal block, right?
Yep.
And I believe, and I'm trying to find his name and I can't, is an undrafted free agent who was playing his first game this season for the Baltimore Ravens, Urban, makes the deciding play in this football game by blocking the extra point or blocking the field goal. So our bread and butter guys that we had to seek out in 2015 aren't necessarily getting it done offensively and defensively because Cam Irving got tossed around like a little boy again and was on the ground a lot, right? Danny Shelton, when moving lateral, he might as well be 150 pounds, not 350 pounds. So they figured out how to block Danny Shelton, but put the beef on the field goal block team, and they can't even get it done there.
Could not.
Very frustrating.
Very, very frustrating. Very frustrating day. I'm sure you guys are frustrated. We do want to hear from you, 216-578-0850. Terrell Pryor reportedly to be signed by the Browns. If we have an opportunity to confirm that for you during our show today, we will do that. I don't know if we will be able to, but what I'm hearing is that it should be done. If it is going to be done, it should be done sometime today. If we can confirm that for you on the show, I will. I think they got to figure out what they're going to do. My guess, early guess, would be Andrew Hawkins with the two concussions in 3 weeks. Maybe he goes to IR for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
If they're bringing in a wide receiver.
And at this point right now, try anything.
Yeah, why not? Why not? Why not? All right, we are going to hear from the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine, later on in this show. We are going to go ahead and we will hear with from Jim Donovan, the voice of the Cleveland Browns, from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. We'll hear some sound from after the game, but we do want to hear from you, 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. And you can tell us what you're feeling right now after this game. What's one word to describe to your mind when you describe last night's game? Where do you go from here? Who do you want to start at quarterback? Austin Davis, Johnny Manziel, if Josh McCown's unable to play with his collarbone injury. Again, what I liked was that there was resiliency. There was fight. They didn't give up. Down 17-3 on Monday Night Football on national TV as a 2-8 team. They could have easily folded in the towel. And I don't think Josh McCown would let that happen. And again, I want to applaud. If there's one thing to take away from this game, I know it didn't translate to wins, and ultimately that's the bottom line. That's all
right.
Anybody cares about. But what Josh McCown gave you as the fan, his teammates, this city, really, I have the utmost respect for him. Maybe the most respect I have had for him of any player that I've really gotten to encounter in my 3 years really being intimate with this team.
Right, and you're absolutely right. He's a tough guy, and he's as good a person as he is a player. You know, and we hope for a speedy recovery, and you know whether he wants to hang up the cleats or not is on him, and he's got a very storied career with all the places that he's been and the opportunities he's got. I kind of want to get all the negative out, and something as I watch the football game, I watch it as a player. I guess I watch it as if I were a coach on a next level. And something to me that was very concerning early in the football game, And even at sometimes throughout the football game, but if I had an opportunity to be a coach and talk to these guys, it's like, how many times did we either defensively on the back end or as wide receivers with Marlon Moore playing his most significant time at wide receiver that he has in his entire career, not know where to line up and then be asking other defensive backs or wide receivers, what's the call, what's the route, what's the signal that he just gave me? Because did you see Whitner? I thought he was going to smack Justin Gilbert in the face when Gilbert almost ran with a guy in motion and would have left a guy out there by himself.
Yeah.
And then they completed the ball to him on that like 8 yard out anyway. But it's just the number of times that I saw a Browns player put his hands in the air like, what's the call? Like, huh? What is it? Huh? Everyone looked confused.
This defense continues to be confused and continues to have way too many breakdowns. On the deep pass to Givens, why would you jump the crosser underneath when you're the deep safety? Makes no sense. Why? On the pass to Kamar Aiken, when literally he was surrounded by about 20 to 30 yards of grass in every single direction, how's that happen? I've been told Gruden
yes.
was very, very harsh on the coaching and what was happening on the field.
Terrible call, terrible execution.
Indeed. All right, here we go. I know everybody is tired of the losing. Believe me, we are tired of the losing as well. We want nothing more than that for the Browns. Well, let's talk about it, where you're at, what you're thinking, what you're feeling, anger, apathy, optimism. It's something. Let us know what you got. 216-578-0850. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.